You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hello and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one daily local sports podcast network. I am Chris Manning, your host and the site manager at FearTheSword.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers blog. This is your podcast for Monday, October 22nd, and a recap of the Cavs' loss to the Atlanta Hawks in their home opener from Sunday, October 21st. The Cavs lost 133-111 against Atlanta. The Cavs are now 0-3 and a little more frustrated now than I think they would. So today's show is going to cover that, the good, mostly the bad, and then what's to come this week for this team. And there's just a tricky week ahead of them. If you aren't already, you can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Megaphone, or wherever else you listen to your podcasts. A 5-star review is the best way to support the show, particularly on Apple Podcasts. And you can find the show on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Cavs. And you can find me on Twitter and Facebook at CWM Wright. Okay, first part of today's show, we're going to look at the good. We're going to be a bit positive about what the Cavs did, at least some of it. Number one, I think Jordan Clarkson deserves a lot of credit. Now, he's a player I find frustrating. I think has his limitations. I'm skeptical that what he's doing right now is going to hold up. But he's been really good through the first three games, and he was one of the better players on the team on Sunday, and he was actually got the highest grade for me in terms of player grades over at Fear the Sword. Clarkson is on defense, sort of to me, the thing that stands out is he's playing with effort. He's using his length. He's sort of got these long arms and kind of a long body that he can use, and he's used it very smartly. He isn't uber athletic, but he uses his reaction time in a way that I think is interesting. If you look at him on offense, he's still taking shots that I don't love. I would guess that if we could quantify his shot probability that of what's going to go in, these are not high percentage shots, but he's making them. He started off this game really well. Now he had a couple of mistakes, he had some issues, but this is a guy that is giving the team a jolt off the bench when they're not getting it really from anybody else. He's providing just useful shot creation that they don't have from anybody else, especially when things have gotten really slogged. It has been tough for this team to really generate offense so far, and he's a guy that is helping with that. He's been really good so far. Again, I'm skeptical of what he's going to be for a whole season, but I think he's been much more solid than I would have expected, and he deserves a lot of credit for that. The other part of this game that I thought was interesting in a positive way, at least one of the other ones, was the first quarter I thought was a really good Cavs quarter. They won the quarter, they're up by 10 going into the second, led by as many as 15, which makes the eventual 37-point swing from that to the 22-point loss kind of frustrating. But you saw some stuff that I thought was really nice. And I think for me the big thing was just sort of the type of sets they were running. Number one, I love Kevin Love back cuts. I worked on two straight possessions in that first quarter to get him easy looks. I thought that was smart. I liked getting George Hill and Colin Sexton minutes together for the first time this season. It didn't work, and it's hard to evaluate that duo in the context of this game, especially when Sexton did not play very well. But I thought that was good. I thought Tristan came out and was running the floor well. And I thought overall the offensive flow worked. They played fast. They didn't necessarily get bogged down as much as they did later on. And I thought this was a team that actually had some cohesion to it. And you saw some stuff that was working. In particular, Kevin Love on the elbow with Jetty cutting around him, with back cutting from Kevin Love. Just a lot of Kevin Love-centric things with that first unit I think really, really works. And that's good. One other, in terms of players that have been frustrating this season but actually played well in this game, Rodney Hood showed some life. Now, he had a 13-point third quarter, not the most efficient way. A lot of mid-range, and that's a theme of this game, is the Cavs took a lot of mid-range shots, not the best shots on the floor, obviously. And he played well. This is a guy that made shots in that quarter. He struggled at other times, was a sieve on defense, even though he played well on offense. He could not quite make up a thing for some of his defensive issues, but he made some shots at a time when the Cavs really needed them to. He was able to create his own shot, and he was getting off good looks against Atlanta. Now, is Atlanta the best defense in the league? No. Was he going against elite defenders? No. But the Cavs needed him to do what he did, and he deserves credit for kind of bringing that juice in the third quarter when the offense completely stalled out, and they just needed someone to initiate it. And Kevin Love was really, they were just working him through the elbow and in the post, and the Cavs are not particularly good at throwing entry passes. So they needed Rodney Hood to just kind of attack in basic pick and rolls and attack in a little ISO and just create shots, and it worked. And look, Sam Decker, I don't think he's going to be a long-term fit. I don't know how good he really is, but he's done a couple nice things on offense. Now, he has had his limitations on defense. I don't love in this game that he took a long two on the three-point line when he just needed to take a half step back, and it would have been a three from functionally the same distance. But 3 of 5, cuts well off ball, had a decent number of good defensive plays in this game as well. He's played hard. He's played solid so far, and he wasn't, I think, one of the guys that really stood out to me as a negative in this game. And for him, that's a good thing. 13 minutes is about as much as I would play him, but he cut and he made a three in this game, and just little things like when he can do that, at least he's being something of a positive. Now, maybe he comes crashing down, but he deserves praise for, I think, playing decently in this game. And look, this is sort of in jest, but if you want to be worried about draft odds and you're pro tanking, you're pro the Cavs at least securing their top 10 pick this year and protecting that asset, losing to the Hawks, the team that owns that pick, if the trade goes through, that is not so bad. We're going to talk a bunch in the next section coming up here about Colin Sexton, but on the way out here, you are going to hear from Tyronn Lue talking about how Colin Sexton got the better of him in his matchup against Hawks rookie Trae Young. Trae Young vastly outperformed Colin Sexton. So you're gonna hear from Ty, hear from our sponsors on today's show, and then we're going to come back and talk a little about switching, Colin Sexton's worst game of his young career, and a whole bunch more in part two of this podcast. But real quick, here's Ty Lue talking about how competitiveness got the best of Colin Sexton.
Before the game, we were talking about Colin and how he likes to play against the better player. I mean, players. I mean, I know Trae Young's a rookie, but what did Colin struggle with tonight in your eyes?
I think more so defensively. I think, he took it personal. You know, I think a lot of times he was trying to fight over the screens and to guard Trae, but that's not what we want to do. You know, we wanted to switch. And I think, you know, taking it because of the competitor that he is, wanting to guard Trae, you know, sometimes, you know, we didn't do the right coverage. So that's basically it. I mean, you know, Trae is in a position where he's the number one option. He can shoot all the balls when he wants to. Colin's more in a situation, he's come off the bench right now, and, you know, you have an all-star playing in Kevin, got some older guys that can play as well. So it's just different situations. But I would say as far as the growth is, I think his competitive nature got the best of him tonight. So, but he's going to get better with that. It's only the third game, and we love his competitive spirit, his nature, and we just got to get better at what we're trying to do.
We all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band in person or being there in the crowd to cheer on our favorite team. And with Vivid Seats, you can attend that concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. So go to the App Store or the Google Play Store and download the Vivid Seats app. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, like Locked On Cavs, for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app, use the promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get your favorite live event. So, thanks again to Vivid Seats for sponsoring today's podcast. We're going to go into the bad of the Cavs' loss to the Atlanta Hawks. And let's start with Colin Sexton. By far his worst game as a pro. By far the most concerned I think I've been about what he sort of projects as. And I don't think it helped that he went against Trae Young in this game. Now, Trae Young, I think, has a much higher ceiling. I think his game comes in much more ready for the NBA that we are observing right now, that we are covering and thinking about right now. But Trae Young in this game was just utterly fantastic, and Colin was just not. To look at their comparative stat lines, Trae Young played 38 minutes as a starter, 13 of 23 from the field, 6 of 14 from 3, got the line 3 times, had 11 assists, 1 turnover, a plus 19. You go to Sexton, comes off the bench, obviously, so slightly different roles, slightly different expectations for these teams, too, as all the players, I think, pointed out in the locker room. But Sexton plays 28 minutes, 2-11 from the field, 0-1 from 3, does not get to the line, 2 assists, 2 turnovers, had 4 personal fouls as well, including a flagrant 1 for step, for which was a kind of a whatever call, doesn't really matter too much. But Sexton also took a lot of shots. If you go look at his shot chart in the middle of the floor, he was taking a lot of mid-range shots when he was taking looks in the pick and roll. For Trae Young, this is a player that was bombing from three. You're going to hear from Larry Nance talking about sort of him in the before the next segment, talking about Trae Young a little bit. But Trae Young is live from everywhere on the floor, basically. Sexton just is not, and he wasn't even getting to the rim to sort of make up for that. I think Sexton's best moments of the Young season really have come when he's been getting to the rim, using that athleticism and being aggressive. And his shot in terms of mid-range is just not particularly smooth. If you can be really good at that shot, and I think can make use of it. DeMar DeRozan is an example of that. Kyrie Irving, the former Cavs number two, obviously a all-time great Cav and a great point guard, is very, very good at getting that mid-range shot and making it worthwhile because he's so good at it. Sexton's not there yet, and the shot's a little rough, and I would rather see him get to the rim and just keep pushing. And look, he's not going to be Trae Young. Trae Young has the potential to be just an offensive, destroyer. And he obviously opens things up. He's great spacing. His passing was unbelievable in this game. But Sexton needs to make some strides on that end. And again, I do not think it helped Colin Sexton in this game that he was going against Trae Young, and that Trae Young, like, there is something there, and that Trae Young just was the best player on the floor in this game. As a rookie earlier in his career, Sexton was pretty bad, but it was tough. And if you're Sexton, there's things you need to learn from this game, I think, to move forward and improve on. And for me, it starts with shot selection, getting downhill. Defensively, it's being a little bit more aware, being more aware in the switching. And that's going to come with practice and repetition, but there's a lot left to be desired there. We're going to get to Jetty and some of his issues in this game, but to think about switching for a second, this is concerning. So the Cavs in this game decided they're going to switch everything. And that means on ball, off ball, they're not going to let anybody just move through screens or do anything off ball. They're just going to switch everything. That includes Kevin Love. That includes Tristan Thompson, who's actually pretty good at it. But that includes everybody. I am not sure it's the best fit for this team. Number one, you can tell that the communication is there right now. Every player in the locker room said something slightly different, but they all talked about communication. Ty Lue talked about communication as being an issue for this team. It is a new concept for this group. It is something that these guys haven't necessarily played together yet. And some of these lineups were used for the first time. Colin Sexton is playing this type of defense really for the first time. And you could see him talking post-game when he talked about getting through screens that maybe that's just him talking to us because he didn't really want to. I don't think he was really in the mood to talk, which is obviously his prerogative. But I don't know if he's quite used to that scheme yet. I think that's a big learning curve for a young point guard, for any young player. Kevin Love in this game got killed defensively because he would switch and then guys would just blow by him and drive. I don't know if switching everything is the right move for this team. Now, I get why you do it. I get the benefit of it. I don't know if the Cavs have the right personnel. And Tristan Thompson also said something I thought that was notable, and that he doesn't want it to be something where guys just are lazy and they think it's easier. You have to work. You have to be aware. It requires more communication than just fighting through screens and battling. There are obviously upsides to switching everything, but it has to be the right personnel on your team. It has to be sort of everything making sense for your group. I think there's questions on if the Cavs are really that kind of roster. Maybe if David Nwabo is playing, that's a little bit easier to stomach. Maybe it'll get better over time. But right now, I don't love it. And I think there is some troubling things there. And I think this game, you see a ball movement, you see the lack of communication, those two things with Atlanta's ball movement, the shot making, and then the bad communication on the Cavs part really doomed them on that end, and that set in motion the two 40-point quarters and the ultimate loss. Jetty also as well, like Colin Sexton, had the worst game of his young season. A couple of just little small things for Jetty that I didn't like. He had a couple of really dumb turnovers, a couple of travels. He was a little, that handle is still just a little bit loose. Shooting wise for him, just 2 of 6 from 3-point range, 5 of 15 from the field. Drives were just a little bit less suave and a little less clean at the top. He was just missing some open looks. He's going to have games like this, but it sucks to see him struggle in a way that he had in the first two games. And obviously you don't want to put that hype train too much up there because he's a young player still learning, getting his body right, all that. But this was his worst game, and some of that could just be all these other issues. But there's some things with Jetty in this game. You see sort of what he's really going to need to work on in terms of finishing at the rim, I think. His shot, I think, really needs to even out, and that'll come in time. But you this was a game, I think, a reminder that Jetty, as good as he's been early on, still has a long way to go. Maybe not as far as Sexton, but there's some things I think he needs to work on there. And lastly, there's some other bad stuff in this game that I don't love, and we'll get into that this week. But there's some weirdness going on there with J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver not playing. So pregame, Tyronn Lue says that there are going to be 10 players that play. That is going to be his rotation. He plays 9. Ante Zizic would be 10, and he did play, but it's garbage time, so I'm not counting that. Korver and J.R. don't play. You would think one of them, those veterans, would be there. That doesn't happen. And then Ty is asked about a post game. He says, "I don't know why." And then we go on Instagram later in the night, and J.R. Smith, tweets Instagrams a picture of his shoes with a shrug emoji, and then a user tweets at him, "F them kicks. Why you wasn't out there tonight?" And he responds to this user, "Ask the organization." So we're 3 games in. J.R. Smith is clearly not particularly happy. There's some weirdness surrounding why he's not playing. If he's not in the injury report, he played 4 minutes against the Wolves and then didn't come back. Korver's on the bench. There's some weirdness going on right now with that, and that's not obviously a death mark on a season. It is not a death mark on this roster, but that's just a rough thing to have going on. 3 games into your season, added on to a weird night with everyone just sort of, I think, a little bit frustrated with what's going on. The 0-3 start, the loss at home, how they fell apart in this game. This is just like the unnecessary, like, moldy cherry on top of like a really crappy sundae where the ice cream is melted and the fudge is bad and just all kinds of just bad. This is just like a bad, disgusting ice cream sundae, and this is the bad piece on top. We're gonna take you're gonna hear now from one Larry Nance, a snippet of his post game interview talking about his return, their communication issues, and a whole bunch more. And then when we come back, we're gonna talk about what's coming up this week for the Cavs and the chances that they actually pick up their first win this week.
What changed after the first quarter?
Thought we got a little bit selfish at times, offensively and defensively. Almost not helping defensively, because then, my man would, if I help, my man might get a shot, that goes for the whole team. And offensively, I thought we took a couple questionable shots, and we got time to get better at this.
What makes Trey so tough?
That he's live from 25 feet. He's it's almost like that Steph Curry mold. You got to guard him as soon as he crosses half court, and he's a lot better playmaker than I had originally thought. So he's impressive tonight.
Well, you had a chance to watch the first two that you played tonight. What does it look like to you? Is the main problem defensively?
Transition was the first two. I haven't gotten to see their transition points tonight, but for the most part, I thought we did an all right job. Tonight, obviously, offensive rebounding hurt us, and switching. There's no communication. That was probably. I wasn't out there the first two games, so I can only speak on tonight, but tonight is communication.
How did it feel to get back out on the court?
Felt great. I'm still working on getting a little pop back in my legs and jumping and stuff. Missed a couple bunnies around the rim that are normally dunks, so still got to get a little bounce back, but I'll be fine. Felt great.
So the Cavs are now 0-3. Now they come up against three interesting teams this week. They start with the Nets at home on Wednesday. The Nets are going to play similar to the Hawks. They're going to move the ball well. They're going to be a little bit better than the Hawks, I would argue, as well. They're not entirely focused on development. That's a team that wants to win. So that's going to be a tough test and sort of a gauge of where the Cavs sort of stand in the East right now. And then the next night on a back-to-back, they go to Detroit. They play a Pistons team that I think would like to make the playoffs. They have Dwayne Casey now. They have Drummond, Blake Griffin. Cleveland would really, really like to be at that Pistons level in the East. That is in contention for the number 8 seed and that 7 seed potentially. Here's a really good gauge this Wednesday about where the Cavs stand through 5 games. That'll be the 5th game of the season. You don't want to draw so many conclusions about a season on a new group that is finding its footing, finding its identity, that has a lot of young talent, that has some weirdness going on, that lost LeBron James, that lost the face of everything for the organization. But I want to just see how they handle a team like that and what they look like on the second half of a back-to-back. I would expect they lose that game, but I just want to see how they handle it. And look, that's a game where the Cavs are switching everything, that's a tough game. You could get guards, you know, Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond are not perfect players, but they're very, very good. They're capable of scoring inside. And if the Cavs are switching everything again, are you going to get George Hill or Sexton or some of these smaller guys, these guards, guarding bigs and feeding into Detroit? Defensively, I want to see how the Cavs handle it. They really actually struggled with Alex Len, of all people, against Atlanta and not marking him on pick and rolls and in certain situations. And I think if they don't do that against Detroit, they're not even going to have a 15-point lead. Blake Griffin and Drummond will just wreck the rim and ruin the Cavs. And that's not a great look for them. And that's a tough thing to just go in and lose and tell you in the span of a week you've lost it to Atlanta, then let's say Brooklyn, and then Detroit. And what does that tell you about your season? Then lastly, the Cavs do host the Pacers next Saturday. Indiana should end up being near the top of the conference this year. Maybe not as scary as the Giannis Budenholzer Bucks, but it's a really good team. Cavs also played them in the playoffs. They have the ball movement, the shot making, the defense, the type of things that are going to really give this particular Cavs team struggle. I want to see how they handle that and see sort of what that gap looks like on Saturday. I want to see how the Cavs defend Oladipo. And I think particularly in that game, let's see how Jetty does against Oladipo. They're going to throw him that assignment. I just want to see how he handles defending a very, very good player, a very good scorer in Victor Oladipo. And if Sexton plays a bunch in this game, let's see how he handles some pretty decent Indiana point guards. A lot of little things in that game, but that's a game that I would expect the Cavs to lose to. So overall, I think this is a challenging week. If you're looking at getting the first win, I think Brooklyn is obviously the best way to do it. 2 days off between the Hawks loss and that game. It's at home. Sets up a back-to-back. But if they're going to do it and win a game this week and not end up 0-6, if they just win one, I think that's the most likely one that they do. Again, it would not entirely shock me if come next Sunday, after the Cavs have played these three games this weekend and host Indiana on Saturday, that they're still winless and 0-6. That would not be great. It'll get even more tense between now and then. But I think Brooklyn, if they can win that game Wednesday, it would set the right tone for the week. It would set the right tone for a team that I think just could use a win and the positive vibes that do come from a win. But we'll see sort of what happens. But before we go, I'm going to play you a clip from Kevin Love, and then we'll be back to tease what's to come this weekend and say goodbye for the day.
Kevin, along those lines, is tonight alarming?
The last three quarters are pretty damn alarming. I mean, on an opening night at home, we expect to play better. We expect to play better in front of our home crowd. I mean, I don't know if alarming is the right word, but it sure sounds right now. Just with our effort level, I should say, our effort level just wasn't there, especially on the defending the three-point line. It just felt like they were just gunning. We weren't getting into them. We weren't physical enough. So,
As a leader on the team, what do you say to your teammates now?
Like I said, it's just it's going to be a growth year for us. We got to get better.
So that is going to be it for today's show. We're going to be back tomorrow with something TBD, maybe a deep dive into sort of what Tristan said, some of the issues I think that are plaguing the Cavs right now. We'll break down some of that information on tomorrow's show. Thanks again to Vivid Seats for sponsoring today's show. And if you have questions that you want answered in the next mailbag, please submit them to @LockedOnCavs on Twitter or to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. A 5-star review on Apple Podcasts does guarantee that I will answer your question, so keep that in mind. Or anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can drop your questions. And at For the Sorter right now, check out our game coverage. Have a bunch of features coming as well. So roundtable's coming up, so please go check out everything we are doing over there. And if you want to get ready for this week, listen to Locked On Nets, listen to Locked On Pistons, listen to Locked On Pacers. Get ready for those teams by listening to those podcasts. And go check out Locked On NBA, the website right now. The whole Locked On Network has a new site. It's Locked. Just Google Locked On Network, Google Locked On Podcast. You'll find the page, and you'll hear. Be able to find everything you want to know about the Locked On Network there. But I'm Chris Manning. You can find me on Twitter at @CWMWrites. This has been your Locked On Cavaliers episode for Monday, October 22nd. Back tomorrow with another one. Thanks for listening, and cheers.